Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome back to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic, and I have a very special guest here with me today. And I had the chance of being on his podcast, and now here he is live in person with me. Thank you, Mr. John
Christ. We have been looking forward to this. This is great.
Yes.
I'm here to learn.
Yes, all right.
And kick ass.
So today, we're going to talk about building a leadership community. Let's get started. As you know, at the Hot Box, we break things down into the learn, the love, and the kick-ass. In the learn section, we'll talk a little bit about communities. What does that mean? How do we progress in them? And then in the love section, we'll bring our subject matter expert in to tell us what he's done and the amazing communities that he's built and working towards and helping other people along the way. And then, of course, in the kick-ass, we'll give you some things that you can start making happen now. So when it comes to leadership community, we've chatted about networking and influence on the podcast. We've chatted about growing as a leader. But what's the next step? If you have built this network of people in the industry and you have influence, especially influence for growth for institutions, what now? Where do we go from there? And within that network or sphere of influence, we should look at taking forging a community, both within the organization as well as outside of it. A community in general, especially a leadership community, from my perspective, is a safe space where a team can learn. We can share experiences, share kind of things that are happening in the organization or happening that a part of what makes their commonality or affinity, and discuss best practices, or better yet, from my perspective, talk about worst practices, things that don't work well that we need to fix or don't work well, or lessons learned that we can learn from one another. Having that safe place to have all of that occur is really important. I was working with emergency aid this week through Boulder Dam Credit Union, an effort in financial literacy, and I know I've mentioned it before on the podcast. And emergency aid, this particular group that we work with, if they come and get aid from the organization, from emergency aid, help with rent or help the bill or really struggling and we're going to the food pantry, in order to get help twice, they have to go through this financial literacy class, and so they come be a part of our class. And one of the ways that I start the class every time is I only have a couple rules for them, and one of the rules is to forward think, that we won't commiserate about what got us here, because it got us here, and this isn't where we want to be. We want to talk about the future, so always forward thinking. But the second is we really have to foster an environment where everybody feels safe to talk about this. And that little community that's created there in that moment will allow people to kind of open up to say, hey, this is where I'm struggling, or this is how I need to get better. And having that safe community is really a big piece of that. In the world of technology and networking mechanisms, we have the capacity to be super connected, to be uber connected all over the place, whether it's the devices, multiple devices within our home devices connect with one another. Your phone knows where you are at all times. But I want to really make the point, in this world of connectivity, don't mistake social media voyeurism for being part of a community. And say that kind of a different way. Like, don't mistake you getting on Facebook and making sure you're checking everybody else out, or being part of a group and all you do is voyeur and you don't participate, as being part of that community. So if you are on LinkedIn or you are in a Facebook group or any sort of social media group and you aren't contributing, are you part of that community? I believe that the answer is no. Just because I creep on Gary Vaynerchuk's Snapchat doesn't mean that I'm part of his tribe. Right? I'm just checking out the things that he's delivering. It becomes a monologue as opposed to a dialogue. And a community really requires everybody to participate. So the same is true when it comes to all sorts of industry communities and things that we're a part of. Your contribution is about the community. The community becomes part of the team and the group's contribution. So how do we build a leadership community? Some of the things that I think are important as we bring in our subject matter expert to think about is, how can we be purpose-driven? How can we have a shared purpose or a shared vision together that we all are there for the same reason? How can we involve and empower one another? And again, that's where that sharing and safety comes from. And then the third and most important, and it's part of the podcast, is how do we take action from that? If we're part of this community, now what? What are we going to do with this? How are we going to take steps forward? So our expert today is going to give us, you know, share his experience, his journey, and his success in building some communities and the why behind it all. So at this point, I'd love to formally introduce you to John Clace. And am I saying that right, John?
John Clace. Yes, John Clace. Perfect. You got it.
He's the president and CEO of Partners Federal Credit Union, and you've been in the industry for a long time and helping a lot of different people. You're the founder also of the CEOcorner.com. You're the author of Doing What Matters, and I want to give a quick shout out to this. It's a great book, and this would be the perfect time, yeah, if I can, to put it out there. Mine happens to be a special signed copy, just, you know, so everybody can be super jealous that I was watching and listening today.
It's on Audible too now, if you'd like it. Is on it? Audible.
Oh,
if you'd
perfect.
Like to listen.
Yeah. And he's an advisor for NAFQ, CUNA, and Filene. You've got your bachelor's in business and also an MBA and a CCD, a CCL, lots of things that you've been throughout the years, and also some executive education through CUES with Harland and Stanford. So you've taken education seriously in this progression, learning, development.
I've
and
had
all
a lot
this.
Of people support me. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Incredible. Welcome to the show. I'm glad that you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. When I got the invite, I said I had to be here. I didn't want to phone it in.
Yeah.
I wanted to get here. What a great opportunity. Thank
oh, and
you.
It's so much nicer to be able to look you in the eye and have these conversations right here across the table. So thank you. So tell us about your journey in leadership.
Oh, boy. So I think it starts with one of eight kids, six sisters,
really?
One brother. Right away, if you had to have some kind of influence to get your way, we were outnumbered, my brother and I, so we started influence right then. But coming all the way up through high school, had a great experience, played all the sports, learned a little bit about leadership and leadership community there, and knew that I really liked working in the context of a team with other people. You can do more, you can do amazing things, you know. Mm-hmm. But I knew that college wasn't for me, or I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. I can remember having a conversation with my dad saying, you know what? I just don't get it. Why would you want to go to college? Hmm. I knew I can go out in construction and make money. And that's what I did. So for 7 years, I had a construction company.
Wow.
Learned so much about that. So much of that knowledge transferred from that experience to what I do today. Hmm. I mean, 80% of it. You would think that wouldn't be true, but we can go into that if you like. And then after about 7 years, I knew, you know what? I like the intellectual rigor. I like mm-hmm. doing the estimates. I like winning the job. I like taking a client's dream and kind of making that come true in reality. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun, very gratifying. But I knew that construction wasn't going to be, you know, something for me into my 40s and 50s and 60s and,
sure.
and something like that. And so somebody intervened and said, you know what, you ought to go over to UCLA. They've got some great courses over there, great wow. assessments, and about 40 hours of written test, about 20 hours of interviews. And basically they said, hey, you know what, you got a good mind for finance. But here's the deal. You've got a high school education. Great place to start, maybe as an insurance or brokerage. Insurance is the smallest barrier to clear mm-hmm. in order to get into financial services. That's what I did.
Uh-huh.
I went to work as an insurance agent, and after about 2 years of doing that work, was promoted to a sales manager, helping others learn what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that part of the job. And then was laid off at Valley Federal wow. Savings. You know, as part of that group where savings and loans closed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got that rich experience. And it was so rich that I got to have it again at Coast Federal Bank. And so, you know, and then decided, you know what, maybe what I'll do is do consulting because that's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
First job was with Pomona Federal Bank. We went mm-hmm. in and talked to them about insurance and brokerage and then Lockheed Federal Credit Union. Voila, credit unions entered my world. They offered me a job to stay on, and for 15 years I stayed there. And as you mentioned, I got my bachelor's and mm-hmm. you know my MBA, and then on to other credentials. I think 7 in all, through that experience. So incredible support, incredible opportunity to learn. Probably had a different job every 12 to 18 months.
Wow.
I could actually remember walking into the CEO's office and saying, "No, it's not fair to the team that I move. We need to stay on task with what we're doing," And him saying, "No, it's time for you to move on and make another contribution." About the time when I finished my MBA, some search firms called and they said, come on down to Disney. They have a credit union. And Brandy, when I went there, I was bowled over by how audacious their goal was.
Really?
And that was really attractive to me. They said, we want to double assets in 5 to 7 years.
Wow.
And I thought I had some insight, not all of it, but mm-hmm. enough to say, you know what? That is audacious, but it's kind of doable.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up doing it in 3 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. We learned so much as a group together, that community of people. that we're trying to replicate that again and again, introduce some of those concepts to new team members. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's like an adult playground. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to be on the playground every day together. Everyone's learning. Everyone's sharing what they're learning, being mm-hmm. humble, being curious, being, you know, mm-hmm. going after results. And that's what it's been about. Yeah.
Did you go into Partners then as the CEO?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. And what? And how? When was it that you were looking to double those assets? What year?
Well, we were going to do it over, that would be 2010. We were going to double assets.
Okay.
And we did it in 2007.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
We did one of the largest mergers in credit union history, you know, to make it happen.
Yeah.
That merger had been tried twice and failed. Uh-huh. And so we took a little different approach. And the approach basically said this, that all the stakeholders have to win. Mm-hmm. The members, the staff, the volunteers, the management team,
right.
our strategic partners. And we wrote a plan that said we're all going to thrive beyond that. Just to come together to just do a little bit better. Why? You know, there are mm-hmm. two successful credit unions on their own. But we made a pretty compelling plan that everyone could thrive. And then to me, that's what the community is all about.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So what does leadership community then mean to you? I mean, you started kind of defining it there at the end of people coming together. What does that mean?
Well, it is about thriving.
Mm-hmm.
Why bring together people, resources, technologies to do so-so?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not compelling. That's
no,
not fun.
Right.
That's not what playgrounds are about. And so, you know, if there's a compelling mission, to me, that's what communities are about. We're coming together to thrive, you know, maybe to look for our full potential. And even if we don't find it, the journey there is so much funner.
Right.
And your results are better
right.
by doing that. So why not live in that space and try to create that space?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to do.
And how has your communities furthered your success? So it sounds like throughout your career and progression, there's been multiple opportunities for that. What are some specific instances that the community has really helped you?
Oh my gosh. So as late as 90 days ago, on our credit union's journey, we're growing really fast. One of the issues with rapid growth is that you have enough middle managers ready to step up
mm-hmm.
into the next role. And so the fastest growing credit union in the country is Rogue Credit Union. And Gene Pelham up in Oregon,
wow.
3 years running. They are the fastest growing credit union. Gene's a good friend. I've known him for 25 years. He's part of my leadership community. I called him up and I said, Gene, how are you handling this?
Right.
And he said, rather than tell you, I'll show you. Get some people. Come on up here. We went up there for 2-3 days. And like credit unions do, Gene opened up everything that they're doing there. We actually
wow.
participated in classes and sat through classes to actually see what the instruction would be like. And we walked away with a truckload of ideas. So that's just a current example of how great the community is. And it also points out that investments that you make in relationships, this
mm-hmm.
case 25 years ago at Western CUNA Management School,
oh, really?
Comes
how
forward.
Cool is that?
Here we are 25 years later. Yeah.
That's amazing. I love hearing stories about that because people go to those events, go to different events and don't capitalize on the networking and think about how this is progressing to your community today.
Yeah. Why be sitting in a conversation and not thinking about next?
Mm-hmm.
We do that at conferences, right? We're at a round table and we think, well, I'll never see you again. Always be thinking of the person to the left and person to the right. What would next look like
mm-hmm.
in our relationship? That's something I try to do.
It brought you and I here.
It did. Yeah.
It did indeed.
Yeah.
We met at a conference and here we are today sitting yeah. across the table.
And I need to say while we're on the air, thank you for saving my bacon because on my podcast, we had somebody cancel and you stepped
oh,
up.
Yes.
I think you were coming back from vacation.
Yes, St. Lucie, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you stepped up and took that spot on the show and it just hit it out of the park. So
thank you. And it's always better not to give me much time to prep because
springing
things
it.
On me
it was,
as always.
It was great.
Yeah. So what's the first step then for people that are listening? If they wanted to start building a community, what should they do?
Just take action.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about perfect. You know, if you have an idea, go ahead and take action. Commit. You know, there's something magic about when you commit to an action. There's another reaction to that. Until you do that, there is no reaction. There is no next.
Right.
You know, so just give yourself credit for saying, you know what? I don't know if this is perfect. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But my intuition tells me I should talk to that person or I should read that book or I should go to that seminar or I should go ask staff about what they're thinking about. Whatever that next is for you, life has an incredible way of kind of in the back of your head telling you, you really need to tend to that. Or that's cool. You're drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
Do the next.
Mm-hmm.
Commit.
Mm-hmm.
Take the step.
And if somebody doesn't have the opportunity, like say that they're kind of their boss isn't as supportive of networking or community in that sense, what could they do?
I'm so glad you bring this up because I think we all need to understand today that you're in charge of your career. You're the driver. Don't wait for somebody else. Why would you put your career and your better future in somebody else's hand? If somebody else is going to be aligned with you and help you, absolutely, take the help.
Sure.
But your own individual development plan, we call it our IDP at Partners, but it really just says it's your roadmap, it's your dreams, it's where you want to go. We're here to help you. But it's your plan. You know, you take responsibility for it.
So don't be afraid to take a lateral step or anything to get around a roadblock.
If you can learn, I mean, you should just be filling up your bucket with all kinds of good stuff that you know. Mm-hmm. Technical things, people challenges are fantastic sure. too. Both sides of the ledger. You know, think about head and heart, right? What we know up here and what you need to have here, those two things together. And every experience brings you opportunities, sometimes rich ones, both or one or the other. Like going back to school and, you mm-hmm. know, learning a little bit more about how to be smart about finance or technology or whatever it is.
And that's the great thing about technology today is that if somebody did have kind of resource restrictions or something to that effect, there's so much technology that brings people together that there are ways to reach out that don't cost anything.
And quality education too. Stanford mm-hmm. has courses that you can just dive into and participate in. A lot of other universities as well. There's no shortage of content out there. There's all kinds of good stuff.
YouTube's got some pretty cool stuff out there, too.
Strategic Hotbox, pretty good.
Oh, you know? Hey. What a way to bring it right back. That's perfect. So what stops leaders, or what are some potential roadblocks that people might anticipate?
Roadblocks. It's you. It's not your brother or your sister or your neighbor down the street. It's you, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, right? So that's the old spiritual. So yeah, it's you. Look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm going to be my best advocate. And start to make plans for yourself and start to take some risk. And you don't have to be perfect. Get going. And the thing about it is, it's a blast. You get to do this, you know?
Right.
So, and I think sometimes momentum is hard to get going. Think about a flywheel. So that's why I really encourage, it does take some risk and some energy to take that step. So get around other people who are doing that, kind of a cohort of people who are doing that. That's why communities are important. And then you're off and running, you know, once you get going. And I think once you get going and you're starting to have some success, then the responsibility comes back to you. And this is the great piece of getting to continue to learn what it is to be a mentor, to start a community for others so they can benefit too, like others did for you. And it's just a cool place to be.
That is. Yeah. And you're right. We so often we get in our own way, do we not?
Yeah, we do.
Why is that, do you think?
Oh, it's fear. You know, false evidence appearing as real, some people call it. But, you know, we imagine in our minds far worse things than actually are going to happen. And once you kind of learn that trick of, you know, get comfortable with being uncomfortable, that's kind of cool, right? We know the body adapts. Like I used to do triathlons, and your body adapts tremendously to that environment. So does your brain, right? Push your brain into that area. It'll adapt too. It'll grow, you know?
Right.
So just knowing that, saying you'll grow, it'll work. Have some faith. It's worked for everybody else.
Yeah.
Push ahead.
And just not be have the fear. And I love that you're talking about your brain as well. I look at the brain as one of the body's, is the body's computer, right? And so often people will have need the new next cell phone every year, or need to get their computer updated every 36 months, or any of those kind of things. And what are you doing to take care of this computer inside this head of ours? So I think that continuing to learn and getting people involved in that is really important. What do you think is kind of a next step? So if what are some of the communities that you've created for yourself? So you mentioned an old cohort from CUNA Management School.
Yes.
So it sounds like that particular thing might be a particular community or a group of CEO friends that you have. Yeah. What are some other communities that you've created?
Well, I have a lot of vintages. We'll call them that, right? So, you know, the 1900s, the 2000, the 2010 vintage. So yeah, either from school or from you know, different groups I've been a part of, like the Credit Union National Association, or groups that I run with, or I have other playgrounds and passions when I leave work. I'm an equestrian person. And so there's that whole community too, to be involved with and learn about. And, you know, every month I'm reading a book about horse nutrition or the different things about just, you know, the mental part of the game, you know, of riding horses. So that's another community. So I think your passions help you participate in communities. And, you know, but make sure that you're giving something back so that they thrive.
Sure.
And, participating is the way it goes.
Contributing. Yeah. And I think that's an overlooked part of communities, is that people think that they're a part of something because they show up, but don't engage or don't contribute.
Yeah. I had a mentor once tell me, you know, you can engage. And the analogy of a swimming pool, you can be the lifeguard up in the tower, or you can jump in the pool. You know, we're talking about a leadership community. Get in the pool. Richer rewards. You get stronger from it. You learn more from it. You're closer to the action. We talk about that a lot of partners, you know. As leaders, you are not up in the lifeguard stand. Get in the water with your team. The data's better. You have a better vantage point from there. There's so many advantages for you selfishly as a leader to be there. That's a good lesson to think about.
And it's interesting that you talk about the balance of not just work communities. This applies across someone's entire life. So it's not necessarily just a professional community that we might seek in a leadership role, but also just things that we do extracurricular with our families.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about this in the leadership training that we do at the credit union. And by the way, all 450 employees go through leadership training because we're all leading from where we're at. Some of us manage, all of us lead. And that idea that we talk about is a way of being. And that way of being extends... It's boundaryless. It goes to your home. It goes to your community. It goes to wherever you go. This whole idea, and I held this thought when I was a young leader, thinking that I could compartmentalize life, that there was my work life and there was my home life, and then never two shall meet. I worked really hard to make sure that those two didn't have to interface with one another. And you know what? It just brought so much pressure.
Totally.
To say, you know what? All these communities converge, and there's synergy across those. And you know what? Oh, wow. Once I gave that up, thinking I had to hold everybody separate in different places, and work was work and home was home, that whole idea of bringing everything together, just as some people talk about an ecosystem, right? Or a constellation of that is your life of all these pieces, you know, that it just works better. It's like effortless effort once you get that going, you know.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's silly me. It took me, you know, 30 years to figure it out. But sure enough, that way of being is something I think it's a key to think about.
We spoke on the podcast. It's been one of the very early episodes. It was with Sarah Kanepa Bang. I'm sure you know Sarah Bang.
Fantastic.
And she. But we talked about work life being baloney and the fact that, that no one's a spy. No one can like completely shut off their spy things. I mean, there are some amazing spies out there. Don't get me wrong. But I can't do that. And so if something were to happen with my babies right now, I'd have to take care of it or would be impacting me in
this
very moment.
If the love of my life, Jackie, is not having a good day and I go to work, guess what? I am not there 100%.
Yeah.
I'm there 90%. So as a leader to understand that's going on, more than understanding that's going on, look for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an executive coach tell me, John, do you realize under the bell curve of those 450 people, there's probably 5% that are in crisis right now? Can you see them? Mm-hmm. Are you helping them?
Are you in the pool?
Are you in the pool? Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. So can you share a funny story or a lesson learned?
God, which one? You know, from the professional lane, I would say, I'm a contractor. He's trying to go to work in financial services. There's a difference in the dress code there.
Do you wear your overalls or coveralls?
No, I didn't, because I was smarter than that. But I went down to JCPenney. No lie. I walked in. I saw the first mannequin in the men's department. And I said, I'll take that outfit my size, please.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so I walk in the office, and my boss, John McKinnon, was a great guy, great mentor. And I'm walking by his office, and all I hear is, hell no. So I kind of come back. Are you talking to me, Mr. McKinnon? He goes, yeah, get in here. He's all, Charlotte, that's his assistant. He goes, get in here. He's all, we got to fix this mess. This is not right. Take him right now. He can't go out looking like this.
Down to my tailor,
get him a suit. This is in the day when you had, you know, kind of like Wall Street, like Gordon Gekko, right?
We
had this, you know,
suit,
braces
suit.
And the matching tie with the braces and, you know, and all of that. So my JCPenney suit did not look like that. So it sounds
did it have
like
shoulder pads?
It was awful. It was awful now that I look back on it. I just didn't know.
Was it red?
Everything was black. I looked like I was working for the morgue or something. Oh, you know, I don't know. But what's cool about it is John was all in on my success.
Yes.
And he knew that if I went out as his sales manager to go out and see people, that wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he knew that I was kind of rough and tumble blue collar guy. And he knew that, hell no, I'd know what that meant.
Right.
Right.
He
wasn't going to be subtle about it. He's going to make sure I
got
the message.
Mm-hmm.
But even more than that, he said, you know what? I got you right now. Go fix this. I'll pay for the first one. After that, it should look like that. You got me? I got it. So
love
there's somebody
it.
Helping
love
you.
Love that. Almost gives me chills. I love when people are part of somebody's success in that way. So can you share a bold action item or takeaway for our listeners?
Oh, commit to something. You know, kind of back to what we were talking about. I think that's so important. You choose what it is, and you'll know the thing that's kind of hard for you to do, and go face that down and do it. And then do it again. And then do it again. And here's what's going to happen in my experience. You're going to have all these playgrounds open up. They're not going to be places of mystery or intimidating to you. And you're going to find great places to be, whether it's going to be out at the ranch riding the horses, or it's going to be at work, the great playground that is Partners Federal Credit Union with all my teammates, 450 of us, making all financial dreams come true, or working at CUNA, or I mean, all the different places that there are to go, to see and experience. So commit to the thing that scares you a little bit. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Go.
commit to the thing that scares me. Oh, just my brain is going, oh no, what are those things?
And what is that for you though? That always keeps changing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think right now it's really internal. It's the organization that I'm working in and diving headfirst in the pool to making sure that I'm acculturating in the organization and getting to know those things that I think I've shied away from because I didn't understand.
And you've had to have adapted between this first episode and this is what now probably for you, how many episodes?
Oh, in the case of the hot box, you know, it just, it constantly evolves and changes too. We're always learning, but it definitely took a dive in and just a, we'll just see how this goes. Good thing I have a pretty amazing team of people that know what they're doing. I mean, most of the time they know what they're doing, you know, day to day.
For the audience to know, if you were to look what's on the other side of this, it is amazing. And that's part I wanted to come here. And you were gracious enough to say, hey, come check it out and learn a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that you're here for that. So how can people get a hold of you?
The easiest way to get a hold of me is theceocorner.com.
TheCEOCorner.com and all the information is there. Oh, look,
there it is.
I'm there as well. The podcast that we recently did together.
Those good looking people, yeah.
And there's a lot of information out there and connections and people.
There is, Brandy. There's the podcast series that's there. Mm-hmm. The book is there. There's also a documentary. Matter of fact, that's a picture of it there. We're on a journey as a credit union to put value out twice as fast. And we're filming it as a documentary, and we've done 2 of the 5 parts series has been recorded. So yeah,
there's
a lot of good stuff there.
We'll get out there and check it out. Well, thank you very much for being a part of the podcast today.
Thank you.
I'm excited that we're able to learn from you. Let's head out to our shout out.
Hello, my name is Eleonora Zgonjanin Petrovic, and that's long, but shortly Ellie, and you are listening Brandy from the Hot Box.
Thank you to Ellie from Macedonia for sending us that shout out. It's sending lots of love back your way. And thank you again to John for being here with us today. So now it's our time. It's the time for execution. It's the time for making things happen. It's time to kick some ass. Here's your top 5. Number 1 is to seek opportunity. And I love the way that John referenced that as well. When it comes to building a leadership community or being a part of a leadership community, you got to just go after it. You have to just jump. You have to commit to something that scares us. We've got to seek those opportunities. If you want to be a part of a community, go out and look for one. I applied to be a part of a ton of boards. And this is probably 10 years ago now, when I was really trying to drive my influence in this in the industry that I work in, and I got denied for multiple, and that was okay. And some that I got denied circled back to me, and I've been on and successful in my journey there after years. So I think constantly throwing your name in the hat and seeking opportunities, eventually those playgrounds will expose themselves. Number 2 is to know your why. Know why you're doing it and be purpose driven in that. I, having the personality that I have, can run myself down, right? So run myself so hard, I'm crazy, working crazy all the time, that sometimes I go, oh. And when I have those moments of, oh, I try to remind myself of my why. Why is it that I got myself in this situation in the first place? Why is it that I'm here and doing and progressing in this way? And if we're confident in that, then all of those, any of the challenges that you face won't be challenges. They'll just be opportunities for additional learning. Number 3 is to contribute. So whether if you're a part of technology group or community, if you're in the organization, if you're an executive, get in the pool. It's time to engage. It's time to contribute. It's time to not voyeur other people's lives. It's time to create your own. Number 4, share best and worst practices. Some of the most amazing opportunities for me to learn have been in those moments of challenge or strife or worst practices, like a what was I thinking moment, whether it's a buying a JCPenney suit or any of those things, that the worst practices are what make us the strongest. And how people act in those moments and out of those moments really tell you a lot about how, you know, their future in your community and how you can build that community together. And number 5 is to involve, empower, and engage others. John mentioned it as one of the best parts of being a leader and learning and having community is being able to then hand that, having a legacy with the people that come right behind you. And so we're all kind of joining in this process together, that once you have learned a worst or best practice, now it's time to share that knowledge with others and involve and empower and engage the people that are in your community to be the best that they can be. There's your top 5 kick ass. Thank you again. again to John for being here. Thank you to Ellie from Macedonia for sending us a shout out. We'd love to hear from anybody out there about topics you'd like us to tackle here on the Strategic Hot Box. Reach out to us, podcast@strategichotbox.com, or you can go to the website, strategichotbox.com, and you can hit us up on social media. We promise to engage right back and be part of your community. And we are very thankful for everyone that's listening and watching right now. Thank you for making the Strategic Hot Box what it is. Thank you for being one of our homies, one of our pioneers, and one of the people that make this podcast special, our community. Until I see you again, get out there and kick some ass.